Good morning, Catalyst family. Welcome to Catalyst. It is our multi-gen service. As you can tell, we have all of our kids here. Welcome, kids. Are you guys excited to be here today? You don't seem very excited to be here today. Okay, that's a little bit better. Thank you, Spencer. Okay, I do want to give a little bit of a disclaimer about the announcements this morning. Dylan was making fun of me because I typed hearing service, but I want you guys to all know part of it is because I have a 105-day streak on Duolingo, and sometimes, you know, when you're doing Japanese, the R's and the L's get mixed up, so it's supposed to be heating service, right? Like, so it's not totally my fault. I've just been doing a lot of Duolingo lately, so give me a little bit of grace. As we were doing our intercession prayer before service, the word that came up in my, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me was the word expectancy. Expectancy. What do we expect when we come to church? Do we expect to hear a good message? Do we expect to sing a couple songs? Or do we expect God to show up? Do we expect God to show up? And kind of like Mima was praying during the worship time, are we only expecting God to show up when we come to church on Sunday? Or are we expecting God to show up in our everyday lives? And I feel like that's been something that the Lord has been really putting on my heart. So like I said, good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. It's cool. I feel like there's been quite a few new faces over the past few months. So I wanted to introduce myself. I'm Damon. And like I said, this Sunday is multi-gen. So that's one of the things that's of value for our church, is that our whole church family is able to come together multi-generationally, from the youngest to the oldest, that we get to come and worship the Lord together. And that's a value that we have as a church. We're not just, you know, children's ministry over here, youth ministry over here, and then all the adults ministry over there. We want to give opportunities for our whole family to come together and worship and experience the Lord together. And one of the cool things for me is that since I get to speak a lot on multi-gen service, is I get to look around and just see how many amazing people that we have. So I always feel very blessed that the Lord has brought so many amazing people to our church. This year, for multi-gen, we've been going through a series called Be Lit. Okay, kids, I need some help. I think some of the people need some help. What does it mean to be lit? Eliana? To live in the truth. Be lit. To live in the truth. That's right. God wants us to live in the truth. So in our series, we've talked about different truths that God wants us to put our trust in. Some of the truths that we've explored are things like, you were created for glory. You are God's masterpiece. And you are a part of his story. So this month, as I was trying to figure out what truth we were going to talk about, I felt like the Lord was saying, you need to talk about this. And then this morning, I felt like he said, you need to do something different. Switch it up. Switch it up. So I feel like I've been challenged. I feel like I was challenged this morning as I was driving over here because I felt like the Lord wanted me to change things up. And it's interesting because what I felt like he wanted me to change was actually how to live out what I was going to be talking about already. So the thing that I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart this whole time as I was prepping for this message is, what does it look like to live by faith? What does it look like to live by faith? And so this morning I felt like he wanted me to say, okay, you're going to talk about living by faith, so now you got to do it. So he changed it up on me. So people were asking me this morning, how do you feel? I'm like, I don't know how I feel, but I know that I expect God to show up. I expect God to show up. So over the past 2 years, I've had quite a few opportunities to speak. I've done a lot of different things. So I've tried to be creative with it, show videos, make videos, try to do a lot of different prep things, try to make it as interactive as possible so that all the kids, when they're in here, they have a good time too. Some messages, I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback, and some, they just felt really flat to me. So as I've been trying to think about it, I was trying to figure out what's been the difference between the ones that get a lot of positive feedback and the ones that didn't. And one common theme feels to be, when I speak about something that the Lord has been teaching me or showing me personally, those feel like the ones that I feel like people have been resonating with the most. So when I was driving here, I was like, okay, we're talking about faith. I really feel like that's been something that the Lord has been impressing on me. So this message we're going to be talking about is faith. And what do we put our faith in? So before we get started with the actual bulk of the message, I wanted to play a game. Kids, you guys like playing games? Okay, that was a little bit better than the first time. But okay, so this game is called Guess the Theme. Guess the Theme. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up three pictures, and your job is to guess what they have in common. So what's the theme? Okay? So let's start off with this first set. I try to make them a little bit easy, so hopefully you guys can get them. Okay, first one. Okay, picture one, picture two, and picture three. So what's the theme? All right, Eliana. Food, okay? That is a theme, but there's an even more specific theme. Asher. Food, yes, food. Okay. Abby. Breakfast food. Okay, good job. Breakfast food. Okay, that was the first one. All right, let's go to the next one. This one, hopefully, if you're my age, hopefully you get this one. Okay? Okay. Okay. Okay, first one. Okay, second one. Okay, third one. Okay. Okay, Garrett. Huh? Tails. I think you're being a little bit too specific. Okay. Juliana.
Animals.
That's true. They are all animals. Okay. Okay, I think this one was a little bit harder than I was anticipating. Okay, this was, when I was growing up, this was called the Disney Afternoon. Okay? These cartoons were the Disney Afternoon cartoons. So when I get home from school, these are the cartoons that would be playing. It was Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, and Rescue Rangers. Okay, so this one is actually a little bit harder. Okay, so I was trying to, you know, ease you into it. So here's the last one. Okay, here we go. Picture number one. Okay, picture number two. Okay, picture number three. All right, hopefully we have some sports fans in here that can figure out what the common theme is between these three pictures. I got no hands right now. All right, I'm going to call on someone. Uncle Brett, what do you think? Sports players, true. They are all sports players. But there's something unique about all of these sports players. Okay, Scott. Championship MVPs, okay. Not the one that I was going for, but good try. All right, Maddox, last one. Maddox. Goats, oh, goats, okay. Goats, greatest of all time. Okay, actually the one that I was going for, I was hoping that you guys would notice. Okay, Michael Jordan, if you were looking at that picture in particular, Kristen, can you pull it back up? There's something underneath his shorts that's not the same color, okay? So those are his North Carolina college basketball shorts, okay? If you go to the next one, okay, he's got a big old beard, right? Okay, and if you go to the next one, he's wearing a hat inside out, okay? Right, so these are all sports superstitions. Sports superstitions. Okay, so superstitions are things that people put their faith in that when they do it, it's going to help them succeed, right? So Michael Jordan, why did he wear his North Carolina basketball shorts? Because he thought it was going to make him play well, right? In the playoffs in hockey, hockey players grow these big beards because they think that if I grow my beard out big, we're going to win, right? If your baseball team's losing, what do? We turn our hats inside out, rally cap, rally cap. So these are things that we put our faith in. Or maybe not we, but people put their faith in. They think, if I do this, then it's going to get the outcome that I want. And this is a common thing. So as I was prepping, Pastor Robert kept coming to mind. Pastor Robert kept coming to mind because he always says this common phrase, there are two kinds of people. There are two kinds of people. And a lot of times in our world, we might hear, there are two kinds of people. People that have faith and people that don't. People that have faith and people that don't. And I think to some extent that could be true, but I think that's also can be misleading. It can lead us to asking the wrong question. Because I don't think the question is, do you have faith or do you not have faith? The question is, what or who are you putting your faith in? What or who are you putting your faith in? So these people that we showed on the screen, they're putting their faith in these superstitions that it's going to lead to somewhere that they want to go. So it's not that they don't have faith. They might say, I don't believe in God, but they believe in something. They have put their faith in something. So that's what we're going to explore today. What does it look like for us as believers to put our faith in God? And so for me this morning, I was like, I felt pretty good about what I had prepared. I had all these things. I had this flow and it felt really good. And then when God said, change it up, I was like, oh, shoot. And I got pretty nervous. But then I felt like he said, what is that showing about your faith? Are you putting your faith in your work and what you did, what you put down, or are you putting your faith in me? And if this message is all about faith, how are you going to live it out? How are you going to live it out? Are you going to go back to, okay, this is what I wrote down, this is what I prepared for? Or are you going to trust me that if I'm telling you to change it up, that I'm going to show up? That I'm going to show up. So it's been an interesting week, too. This week's been very interesting. As I was prepping, one of the other things that happened is I got sick this week. And so I was like, oh, man, I hope my voice comes back for Sunday morning. I hope that I'm not up here hacking and coughing. But one of the interesting things is that as I was thinking about that, a person came to mind. And her name is Nancy, and it was really good. I went to a conference one time, and I was expecting someone to speak. And I was so excited because I went to this conference just to hear this person speak. And I get to this conference, and the person is there, and there's this other person that's standing next to her, and she's kind of coughing, she's older, and I was like, I wonder, that's interesting that this person is up there. And the person that I came to hear speak says, sorry, I'm not going to be speaking this morning. This other person is going to be speaking. And in my mind, I was like, oh man, I came here to hear her speak. This other person, she's like older, she's coughing, da da da. It's like, oh man, I'm bummed out. Maybe I should have taken a different class. Maybe I should have gone and done something else. And then the Lord showed up, and I was like, this was the best conference I've ever been to, and that was the best speaker I've ever had. And so I was thinking about it. What was it? Was it the words that she said? Was it the things that she prepared? It's like, no, it was because the Lord showed up. The Lord showed up. And so that really changed for me what my expectancy is of God. And so for this morning, I shared that I felt like I was supposed to share something that's a little bit more personal. So I wanted to share with you guys a story. And this story is actually something that Auntie Steph showed me. And it starts off with this. Can you show the picture? Okay. If you can't see, this is someone sitting in a tree. You want to guess who's sitting in the tree? Riley, who's sitting in the tree? Short man. Short man. Close. There was a short man that was in a tree, but this is not the short man in the tree. Okay. Krissa. Jesus. Okay, yes. This is Jesus sitting in the tree. Okay. So this is a story that's found in this book, Heaven Awaits the Bride by Anna Rountree. And this is something that ever since Auntie Steph shared this story with me, it's been something that's really been convicting. It's been something that's been really resonating with me. And so I wanted to share with you. Okay, so this story starts like this. It says, suddenly I heard someone clearing his throat in order to call attention to his presence. So I looked up. Jesus was sitting in a large tree. My Lord, I said in amazement, what are you doing up there? I'm up a tree, he said. I laughed. What are you doing in the tree? He replied, you want me to be up here. I want you up a tree? I laughed, for I thought he was joking. Yes, he answered. I am localized, and you know where I am. You can come to the base of the tree and ask me questions, and then go about your life. I am in a portion of your heart, but I do not have access to the whole thing. She says, I was cut to the quick. I swallowed hard. Come down, my Lord. I said, forgive me. These things are so exciting. So Jesus was in a tree. And he says, this is where you want me. So as I was hearing this story, as she was sharing it with me, I was like, do I want Jesus in a tree? These things sound very familiar. Yeah, I want to know where I can go find him when I need him. But the story continues, and Jesus shares about what he really wants. He doesn't want to just be there when we need him. He doesn't want to just be used for, Jesus, can I have this? Can I have that? Can you give me this? Can you do this for me? But he wants to walk with us. And so the most convicting part of this whole story comes later. And Jesus is talking to her, and he says, how do you expect to enjoy me for eternity when you can't enjoy me every day as it is? Because really, right, that's what our faith is all about. That's what heaven is like, right? We're going to be with Jesus. And so this time that we're on earth, this is an opportunity for us to get a glimpse of what that is. It's an opportunity for us to get a glimpse of what it looks like to walk with Jesus. Because when we say that we believe in him, when we say and we receive Jesus, that's what it's for. It's to reconnect ourselves with him so that we can walk with him for eternity. Jesus wants to walk with us for eternity. And that's what it looks like for us to walk with faith. But we live in a world with so many distractions. We have so many distractions. There's so many things that are calling our attention and so many things that we want are asking us to put our faith in. Things like ourself, the government, money, relationships, science, education, success, ideology, possessions, our own understanding. These are all things that are calling our attention and calling and asking us for our faith. But it's cool because sometimes God likes to show off. So last year I shared that the beginning of last year was a little rough, right? We had our business, we had a Hava, everything was going well. And then within a few months, it was gone. It was gone. Everything shut down. And I was like, I don't know, God. Like, I thought it was going to go differently. What's going to happen? So fast forward. We just made this announcement, right, that we have acquired more room up here. So in my understanding, I was thinking, our business is going great. We're going to have this screen printing company. We're continuing to grow. Everything is going good. But the Lord had a different plan for us. The Lord had a different plan. Because if we still had all that screen printing equipment, which were some pretty big machines, it would be a lot more difficult for us to make this transition that we're making now. We'd have to do all of these other logistical things, all this stuff. So in the midst of me thinking, this is how it's going to go, the Lord had a different plan. And so for me, what did it look like? It really looked like I had to ask the Lord, God, what is going on? I don't get it. This is not the way that I would do it. What we're doing as a company seemed really good. Great things are happening. And so when I sought the Lord, he said, don't worry, I have a plan. Don't worry, I have a plan. And so the last year and a half has really been me trying to trust that plan and step into that plan. But it's cool because God likes to show off. And now it's like we get to see some of the ways that God has been showing off. Because he was preparing this a year and a half ago, a long time ago. Another time that God would like to show off is in one of my favorite characters in the Bible. How many of you guys have heard the name Elijah. Elijah? Good, good, good. Another time that God liked to show off was in this story. And it's kind of an exaggerated story, so it's kind of cool because it's fun and it's exaggerated and it's kind of big. And so I know it's a long story and it can be kind of graphic, so I wanted to show a video instead. So let's show the video and let's see this story about Elijah and his battle with the prophets of Baal.
David became a great king. Then his son Solomon reigned. After Solomon died, God's people had many bad kings. King Ahab was one of the worst. His wife, Jezebel, worshiped the false god Baal. Jezebel persuaded Ahab and God's people to worship Baal too. Because of their sins, God stopped the rain for several years. Then he sent his prophet Elijah to King Ahab. "You have disobeyed God and worshiped Baal," Elijah said. "Tell everyone, including the prophets of Baal, to meet me on Mount Carmel. I will prove who the true God is." Everyone gathered on the mountain. Then Elijah said to the people, "Make up your mind. If the Lord is God, follow him. However, if Baal proves himself today, follow him. Baal's prophets and I will each kill a bull, place it on an altar, and pray. The God that sends fire to burn up the bull is the true God." Baal's prophets went first. They prayed to Baal all morning. No fire came. "Maybe Baal is sleeping," Elijah laughed. "Shout louder." So Baal's prophets shouted all afternoon. Still, nothing happened. Elijah built an altar. He put the bull and the wood on it. He dug a ditch around it. Then he had water poured over everything until the ditch was full. Elijah prayed. Immediately, fire fell from heaven. It burned up the bull, the wood, the stones, and the water. The people bowed down and cried, "The Lord is God."
Okay, so that's actually kind of a tame version because that story can be pretty graphic. But one of the things that I think is funny is I've read other versions of that where when Elijah is kind of taunting the prophets, he's like, "Where is your God? Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's not paying attention to you. Maybe you need to do louder," right? So this story can be pretty exaggerated and pretty crazy. But one of the things that I wanted us to focus on is those other people, they're very similar to where we're at right now. Okay? The people of Israel, not the prophets of Baal, the people of Israel. Because one of the things that Elijah tells them at the beginning is you guys need to choose. You need to choose. You keep wavering back and forth. You follow Yahweh, but then you also follow these other things. It's time to choose. So I think what he's trying to illustrate is he's trying to let us know it's not whether you have faith or not. It's what are we putting our faith in. So what I feel like the Lord wants for us is he wants us to know that he's God. So he does some of these crazy things. He lines things up. In this story, he called fire down from heaven. He wants you to know that he's the God that's real, the one that's alive and active. Those other gods that they were following, they didn't respond. Baal didn't respond. So the different things that we put our faith in, what the Lord wants us to know, is some of those things can be good. Some of those things can be very good things. But when we put our faith in them, they're not going to give us what we're looking for. They're not going to respond in the way that we want. They're not going to fulfill us in the way that we want. And the one person that will is God. So a funny thing is, at the end it says, after fire came down from heaven, all the people were proclaiming, "Yahweh is God. Yahweh is God. Yahweh is God." Do you guys know what that translation is in Hebrew? The translation for Yahweh is God in Hebrew? Elijah. Elijah. So it's kind of funny. It's kind of dual meaning, right? Like they're all, Elijah, Elijah, Elijah. So it sounds like they could be saying, cheering for him. But they're not. They're cheering for God. Because he's the one that responded. So what are we supposed to do about today? All these different things that we heard. I feel like there were three application points that I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart. One, when we put our faith in the right person, then we're able to fully receive the blessing that he has for us. Two, when we put our faith in the right person, then we're able to experience God's presence all the time. Not just here and there, not just when we show up on Sunday, but all the time. We get to recognize that he wants to be with us. The God, the creator of the universe, wants to be with us in our everyday. And when we put our faith in the right person, we get a glimpse of what heaven is like. We get a glimpse of what our future in heaven is like. A future with God walking together. So the question I want to leave us today is, have we lost our expectancy that God is going to show up? And because we've lost our expectancy, is that why we're choosing to put our faith in these other things? You know, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Barry gave a message on patience. And sometimes God wants us to grow in our patience and not lose our expectancy. Sometimes it's just waiting. But we get impatient, and that's when we start to seek after these other things. So that's what I want to leave you guys with today. God doesn't want you to lose your expectancy. He doesn't want you to lose your expectancy that he's going to show up. All we got to do is open the door. So let's pray. God, I know in our world, it's very easy to get distracted and swayed and put our trust in other things. But all those other things don't deliver. God, you are the one that shows up. So God, may we be like Elijah and look to you, have that expectancy that you're going to show up. Elijah even poured water over the sacrifice, knowing that you are going to show up with fire. God, may we have that type of expectancy too. Not to taunt anyone, not for anything like that, but just that we have this firm faith that you're going to show up, that you're going to be with us, that you're going to comfort us, that you're going to walk with us, and that you desire to be with us. So God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for showing us that you want to show up by sending your son to be with us. So God, we invite you right now to be in our midst as we spend this time in worship. Thank you for showing up this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.